Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Peter, if you would. And when you get there, I'm going to mention something very quickly from Ephesians. But go ahead and go to 2 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 3. Every day that goes by, I get a little bit weaker in the flesh and a little bit more anxious to be at home with the Lord. And I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this world and leave anything undone. Certainly God has a better place for us, and I'm going to try to talk about that tonight, about the new heaven and the new earth. Something that I study a lot of things throughout the week, and my mind just goes here's and there, and I'll just be thinking of one thing, and then God will lead me somewhere else, and so on. And I was with Ryan last night. We were watching a basketball game, and I was just kind of checking email during the intermission, and an article came up. And I'm going to talk about some things tomorrow on Pastor Mike Online. And if you get a chance to either watch it live or just listen to the recording of it later on or whatever, I just want to strongly encourage you to do that. Ephesians 6 tells us that we ought to put on the whole armor of God. We're to have the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. We're going to have the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And our loins girded with truth. But he mentioned that shield of faith. And he specifically said, when it comes to the shield, and that shield is called faith. And that shield is your trust in God and God's Word. Okay? And I'm telling you, you listen to your preacher, that faith is going to be shaken and it's going to be tested. Okay? As we go through life, we'll have incidents, we'll have things like that where it kind of tests us, where it shakes us a little bit. God is always in control of that, and He always strengthens us. We think we're not going to make it. And God always gives us strength, and He always shows us how to do warfare, and always shows us how to fight, and how to prevail, and how to use that shield. God doesn't just give us these things and say, put them on and you figure it out. He'll train you in them. And there's some things going on right now in the genetic realm, genetic science. And I'm not going to spend any time on that tonight. But I'm telling you that some fiery darts are going to be hurled by our enemy. And it is, if you do not have a total and complete trust in this book and what it says, okay, you're in trouble. It's not a threat. I'm not saying that you're bad. We're all bad. Amen? Okay, but we trust the book. What I'm telling you, and I'm saying probably 5-10 years, okay, this world is going to be so upside down and so different, significantly different, that it's going to shake the faith of some people. And if some people ain't going to make it, okay? Make sure that you trust what this book says. Okay? Not me. Not the preachers on the internet. Not the YouTube videos. Not anything. Trust what this book says. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. And by the way, you trust what this book says. God will get you through this life, and He'll give you something that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him. But God, He reveals them to us through His Son and through His Word. 2 Peter chapter 3. I love this. I heard Mike Hutzel one time. Mike Hutzel is a good evangelist, and he's not afraid to preach on sin. He's not afraid to preach on things that are wrong and weaknesses in Christian life. And Mike Hutzel preached a message at a camp one time on heaven, and it was, probably one of the best messages I've ever heard in my life. And I asked God if I could preach something like that. And it was a couple years later, God finally laid it on my heart. And I preached a sermon here on a Sunday morning on heaven. And I tell you what, I wept and I shouted and I mean everything else. I know we like to preach on all that's bad and we preach on things that are wrong and how we ought to avoid this and avoid that and how people are doing this and it's bad and everything. We preach on hell and everything like that. But every now and then, just preach on the glory side. Amen. Preach on heaven. Preach on what's coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, now here's where your faith, here's where your shield of faith comes in. According to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. When you're talking with people, and I've just been visiting with people both here and in even people that call in from the online ministry and so on, and we talk about some people are just afraid of, they're afraid of dying, they're afraid of not, they're not going to make it and so on and so forth. But this whole thing that we're doing here tonight, this Christian walk that we have, is all about a single idea and a concept, and that is, at some point, we're going to leave this world and we're going to have a promise given to us, fulfilled by God, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and wherein dwelleth righteousness. Lisa was telling me that now there's a school over here in Illinois that is allowing a transgendered boy to shower with the girls in the shower room. That's wicked. That's wicked. Listen, I'd yank my kids out in a heartbeat. Amen? Would not put up with that, not for a second. Okay? And don't have to. Just stand our ground. Amen? Not going to put up with it, stand our ground. Okay? There is not much righteousness dwelling in this world that we live in right now. And I'm telling you, it is going to get we cannot comprehend yet how bad it is going to get in front of our eyes, people. In front of our eyes. I cannot stress that enough. I'm not done putting together what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. But I'm telling you, it is going to get extremely bad in this world. Everything that we are relying on, every foundation of every law and every moral and every rule and guideline is going to be turned upside down and shaken. I mean it. I just can't stress it enough. And I'm wanting that. I'm wanting the new heaven and I want the new earth because I know who's going to be ruling it. Won't be the Democrats, won't be the Republicans, won't be Donald Trump, won't be the news media, won't be any of that junk. Amen. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So he mentions a new heaven and a new earth. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. By the way, there are 8 places in your Bible. I know this number and I'd have to verify it 100%. But there are 8 places in your Bible where it talks about a new heaven, a new earth. And the number 8 is the number for guess what? New beginnings, new life. Okay, the 8th day is the end of the week. It's the start over again. Aren't you glad for start overs? Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. John said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And just think about that. The new heaven and new earth is not even here yet, and John gets to see it. John gets to see it before anybody ever gets to see it. What a blessed man John was. Amen. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. According to what we know from history, John was the only one of these guys that was not murdered for the cause of Christ. He lived and died on the Isle of Patmos. He was in exile there. He was somewhere in his 90s. And God used him and allowed him to see something that no man's eyes has ever seen before. And that is something that's not even here yet, is the new heaven and new earth. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem," not old Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, brand new city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, "coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I just like to throw this stuff in. Flip this upside down and think of its opposite. What is the opposite of heavenly Jerusalem? Hellish Babylon. Amen? And New Jerusalem is a city that comes from heaven down to earth. What were they trying to do at Babel? Build something from earth that reached up to heaven. Didn't work, did it? Okay? This is God's way. Let Him do it. Amen? Let Him do it. So anyway, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, let me just throw something else in here so you understand this, okay? In a partial fashion, I guess, when Jesus came and lived among us, He truly was Emmanuel, God with us. He was fully God. He was fully man. I don't understand it. I just believe it. Amen? He was all God and He was all man and He was the Son, and yet He said, I and the Father are one. And yet we know that there is a Father. No man hath seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. But He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Now, at this time, everything bad has been cast into the lake of fire. There is no more sin. There is no more sickness. There is no more death. There is no more tears. He's going to wipe them all away. We're going to read that here in a little bit. All of that has been done away. Every barrier that sin put between us and God the Father sitting on His throne is now done away with, and God Himself will be amongst us and we will be with Him. We're going to see His face. Not even Moses could see His face. God showed him His back. But He said, Moses, if you see My face, you'll die. No man can see My face and live. And did you know at this time, the Bible says, we will behold His face. We'll see it. What a day that will be. Amen. So God shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If you don't say anything, amen to anything I preach on, you say amen to that. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. I want that. Amen. Neither sorrow. Amen. Neither crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Amen. No more hitting your thumb with a hammer. Amen. No more stepping on Legos with bare feet. Amen. Or nails or anything like that. No more back pain. No more chest pain. Nothing like that. No more headaches. No more anything like that. All these. And he said, now look at the last part of verse 4. For the former things are passed away. Everything that is right now with us is all going to be passed away. Okay? This old body, everything that is corrupt along with it, everything that's corrupt in this world, everything that is evil, everything that is vile, everything that is of hell is done, passed away, and it's over with. Peter said, literally, that it was going to melt with a fervent heat. Now, to me, this was always interesting. In the Old Testament, God destroyed the world. He did it with water. But He promised He would not destroy the world with water anymore. He's going to keep that promise. Because in the last days, He's going to destroy it with fire. And every element, you know what the elements are, right? Hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and krypton. Krypton's an element, okay? All of those things are going to dissolve. And they're going to melt with a fervent heat. There's something really interesting. The Bible says that Christ is the one which everything in the universe consists. And that word consist, if you've ever made dough or gravy or pudding, when you're making gravy, you're looking for what? Consistency. Too much water in the gravy? Ain't no good. Too little? Ain't no good. It's got to be just right. That word consistency means how it's held together. And right now, the Bible says that everything in the universe is being held together by Christ. By Him, all things consist. So, what's going to happen, do you think? He's just going to go. He's going to let go. Amen? And it's just going to dissolve. And it's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to vanish away. So he says in verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, and I like this now, you listen to this, behold, I make all things new. That is why you got saved. That is why your heart decided to believe the Word of God. That is why you're trying to live in a different fashion than how you lived back in the day, the old day. You're trying to get some of the new things that God has waiting for you. You're trying to have those in this life. Amen? He said, I make all things new. And God has actually designed us to like new things. Amen? If you've got a choice between a freshly cooked meal or a three-day-old meal, get the fresh one. Amen? Right? Okay? My mom's trying to buy a new car. Right? What is it we always like about a new car? First thing we like. All those chemicals, whatever that is in there, we just like that smell. Okay? And then we try to keep it. And the longer you ride in it and stink it up, the worse it gets. Amen? We like new things. He's going to make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In other words, this is what you're counting on. Now, I delve into a lot of things related to prophecy. I mean, I try to dig stuff out. I try to dig and dig and dig until I find something. And that's just me. That's just my style. Some of those things, you're probably going, wow, that's pretty cool. Some of you are going, I don't know about that. Okay? That's fine. I get that. Okay? But this one's faithful. And this one's true. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And everything that is part of this universe right now is going to be dissolved completely away. When He says it, He means it, and it's faithful and true. And if you're going to count on anything, count on that one. He said in verse 6, and He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That blesses my heart. Amen. By the way, let me just throw this in here. He did not say, I am the Aleph Tav. You know what that is? Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Tav is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Why did Jesus, a Jew, associate Himself with a Greek alphabet and not the Hebrew? Because He represents the part of the Bible that's written in Greek. He represents the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is the letter of the law that killeth. And He said, that's not me anymore. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm giving you life. So He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. Not like that. He didn't say, I am the Alpha, then I am the Omega. He's both. I don't understand that. So I'm not going to try to redo it to make it so where I can understand it. I just believe it. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life for your love offering of $49.95 plus $20 shipping and handling. That's not what he said, is it? These guys that are selling water that God said was free. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 55. I got a little shouting ground here. Isaiah 55. And I mean that. And Lisa will tell you that years ago, we would go, Mike Hutzel was having us preach all over the world. Seemed like we was gone every month. We was gone for a week every month, preaching and teaching somewhere, and we'd set out a table full of books and videos, and we put a price tag on every one of them. And I always told people, now if you can't afford anything, just let me know, and we'll take care of you. So I mean, it wasn't like I was just trying to gouge everybody, but we were selling things on the table. And God dealt with me one day about that and said, Mike, how much did I charge you to give you all that stuff that you put on those videos? And God, not a dime. Okay, if I give to you freely, shouldn't you do the same? Yes, Lord. But, no but, Mike. Trust me. And I've told this story before. I said, God, here goes. And I went to a church in Oklahoma, Brother Freddie down there, and laid everything out on the table and put a little basket there and let it alone for a week. And when I left there on a Friday night, I was driving back home late, and it got me. I wanted to know how much was in there. And there was more in there that people freely gave than we had ever taken in selling anything. And I said, God, from now on, this is how I'm going to do it. And God, it's free. It's free. Every now and then, I'll go in Rose's office. She always takes care of all the money that people send in. And every now and then, there'll be some checks on her desk. There'll be one there for $5. And I'll say, Lord, bless that person. $5. That's all it takes. Amen? That's all it takes. And then there's some people that say, man, we really like your stuff, but we can't afford it. We've kind of lost our job, and we know it costs you guys, so just take us off the list for now, and then we'll let you know. And we always say, no, how about we just leave you on the list? And most of the time they say, yeah. Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. For behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. But this whole part here is about why would you work all week and buy something that's not bread and not going to help you? And he said, the water that I've got is absolutely free. And that's what he says back here in Revelation. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And I believe that. I believe in free grace. I believe in God's free pardon. I believe in God's free blessings. I believe the greatest things that God has ever done for you were probably the most undeserved that you have ever received in your life. Amen? We throw a fit and a spell when we think we ought to get paid more and this and that and the other, but the truth of it is God has blessed us in so many ways we can't even count them, and we've deserved none of them. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. That is what I believe about salvation. Those who are saved overcome. Amen? God will help you. Shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Did you see that? You are a son of God. It is not, the Bible says in, I think it's 1 John, it does not appear yet what that will be or how that will appear. But when he appears, we will be like him, for we're going to be with him. Right now, God counts you as his son, his child, which means, and Jesus taught us this, he said, which one of you, having a son, if your son asks you for, how did he put it? To ask you for a fish, would you give him a scorpion? No, well, I might. Okay? No. You give your children either what they want or something better. You give, and you give, and you give. And they don't earn it. They don't work for it. It's good to teach them things like that, but we give them far more than what they earn. Amen? It's because they're our children, and we love them, and we are sons of God, and he loves us that way. Now, he will take care of business with us if he says he needs to. He'll chasten us. He'll chastise us. He will correct us. And every time he does, those who are really saved will go, God, thank you for that. Because that is a lot better than what I had coming. We are sons of God. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, look at there, unbelieving. Now, I'm going to throw something in here on this fearful thing. I'm going to just keep driving in this thing about your shield of faith and your trust in the Word of God. Do you believe this Bible? Do you believe every word it says? Do you believe that if God said it, He had a reason for saying it, whether you think you're smarter than that or not, God had a reason for it. Okay? And He talks about the fearful and the unbelieving. Fearful. I believe that a time is coming whereby fear is going to be laid so heavily upon mankind that they will fail for the fear. Okay? Do you remember how you felt at about 9:30 in the morning on September 11th, 2001? Do you remember how you felt? Did you feel fear? I did. I was standing here teaching our new school kids how to get started with the ACE system. It was going to be our first day. We had this big day planned out. That was September 11th, 2001. And Rose came in while I was talking and said, Brother Mike, two planes have flown into the World Trade Towers. And when she said that, I knew instantly that it was not some flight accident. two planes was on purpose. And I just went. And I was just glued like everybody else was to what was going on. Watching this scene way late into the evening, hearing about what's going on, hearing about the other plane in the Pentagon, hearing about the other plane in Pennsylvania, and hearing all these other rumors, probably most of them just not true. But we were afraid. I'm telling you, there is coming a day where God is going to lower the boom on this planet and such fear is going to take place. And let me tell you who's going to be in charge of that. The devil's going to be in charge of that. He will draw his people in by fear. The Islamic militants rule over those people with what? Fear. If you do not adhere to what we tell you to do, we will kill you. Men, if Muslim men will rule over their wives with such fear that those women literally will be afraid of, because in Islamic law, it is not against the law. In Sharia law, if your wife displeases you in certain ways, you can kill her. And Muslim women, girls, grow up in this kind of atmosphere. And they cannot escape that because of fear. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a time, and I think our eyes are going to see it, that such fear is going to be lowered down on this earth, and everybody's going to fall except the believers, the overcomers, those who have a shield of faith in the evil day. So he says, the verse 8, we love you, Stacy. That's all right. These guys never bother us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I want you to get this, and I'm going to just kind of fold it up tonight. Go ahead and turn to Isaiah 66 very quickly. Okay, I'm kind of moving around some notes, but I'm going to try to tie something into this. He mentions a list of people. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Isn't that interesting? There's 8 groups of people here. That number 8 is for new beginning, okay? And that's both good and bad. The beast is of the 7, and he is the 8th, okay? But anyway, all of these people have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. God always has a mirror image of everything He does. If there is a second birth, there is a second death. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? And so, while He is giving us the second life, the new life, okay, the new heavens and the new earth, He has now even taken the place where sinners go right now is hell. Hell itself, at this time, is cast into the lake of fire. There is a second death. Hell is the first one. The lake of fire is the second one. And you know what God does? He takes all the people that have died in their sins and He resurrects them with some kind of punishable body. Don't know what it's going to be. But He takes them and judges them, and they are cast into the lake of fire, and it's going to burn for how long? Forever and forever and ever. In Isaiah, I remember somebody had shown me this one time and I wasn't sure if I believed it, but I believe I do now. Isaiah 66, he mentions in verse 22 the new heavens and the new earth. And I want you to look at this. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now, get this picture. This is in the new heavens and the new earth. And he mentions all flesh. Okay? It's a new flesh is what it is. We have a new body. We're not just a vapor floating around. We will have a new body. And he said, they'll come to worship me, saith the Lord. Now look at verse 24 very carefully. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. And then look what he says. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And somebody brought that to me and they said, Pastor, I believe that that's teaching that those of us in the new heaven and new earth will see the lake of fire. And we will see those in there. Okay, now, there's another, and I'm going to kind of tie all this together maybe next Wednesday night. There will not be the feelings that we have for people now. We will not have that then. Okay? We will not have the fellowships and the friendships and the things like that that we have here on this earth. And when someone dies and we know they're lost and it grieves us and we mourn and this and that and the other, when we have this, remember, we have no more tears up there. We are perfected as God or Christ is perfected there. So we will not have the sorrow that you and I have here. But I believe that we will see them where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. And I believe that we will see them, and I think maybe, probably, that it's going to be an everlasting testimony, a reminder, or something that we can see. Here's God, and we're worshiping Him, and here's the lake of fire. It exists somewhere, okay? And I believe that we will see that, and we'll turn around and we'll say, God, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that I'm not in there. Amen? A lot of things to be thankful for. Thank God you're not in hell now, because you probably could have been. Thank God that you're not going. And then when we get to heaven, we can thank God that we're not in the lake of fire. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. He does all things new. A lot here. I tell you what I did just for a little while, just went through the Bible and looked for things that were new. Amen. Did you know you cannot and should not put new wine in old bottles? Amen. Don't do it. That's a lesson there. That's a teaching. All right.